while that was not the easy path, it really was the right path for me. It was after, so many life changes, so many things kind of happening all at once, it was the right decision to take the harder path.
Welcome back to Tech Life, a podcast to help you feel less stressed and more focused to calm the chaos of consulting. Let's be inspired by the possibility that we can be happier by doing less in an industry obsessed with constant optimization. I'm your host, April Rest. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Welcome back to the Tech Less podcast. I'm your host, April Rest, and today we're with Kelly Sandstrom, who has over 15 years of experience in project management, IT and operations in the consulting and tech industries. She currently serves as the Project Portfolio Management Office Director at the State of Indiana Department of Workforce Development. And in her free time, Kelly enjoys reading as many books as possible, which I can't wait to hear more on that. She volunteers her time across several local nonprofit organizations, and she enjoys spending time with her husband, Scott, an 8-month-old daughter, Annie. I love that. I love that name. Welcome, Kelly.
Thanks, April, for having me. It's so great to be here.
I love reconnecting. So just for everybody's context, Kelly and I used to work together at LEV, and it's really great to be reconnecting with you and just hear more of your perspective outside of the standard. You know, we're both project managers trying to make progress on our projects in the workplace.
Right, exactly.
So tell us, Kelly, I'd love to hear more about your time in consulting and also what led to your pivot out of the consulting world.
Sure. And I don't know how much time we have for this podcast. I could talk about this for days. I have a very non-traditional or non-linear career path. I actually started my career in consulting straight out of college. And back in the day, was actually affected by a layoff. First job out of college, not something that you could have predicted. And then spent many years kind of thrown out of consulting, back into the world, trying to find my way, and eventually made it back to consulting. Oh gosh, probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I got back into consulting, and it always seemed like I was trying to find my way back, if you will. And when I found my way back, I was like, hey, I made it. This is where I want to be. And I subsequently spent the next 7 years in the consulting world. I came in as a project manager, an individual contributor, and wanted to keep achieving, right? Consulting seemed like the place to do that. It's a very high pressure, high stakes, high reward type of environment. And for someone who had ambition and kind of had this goal to get back into that, it seemed like the right fit. But what you find in consulting, as I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to, there is a lot of pressure and chaos. I'll go ahead and use that word that comes along with being in that environment. So yes, I spent many years kind of working my way up, if you will, through a traditional project management career path. I came in as an individual contributor. I became a team leader. I became a manager, and then subsequently like a department leader in project management. And through those 7 years, had a lot of life changes. I met my now husband. We bought a house. We had a child, and a lot of, we also went through a pandemic, which I think impacted anybody, regardless of who you are. And so trying to navigate, in a very high pressure environment, through all of those life changes just became really difficult. Right. Mm-hmm. And, I think the thing that probably ultimately, led to my pivot out of the consulting chaos was becoming a new mom last year. So I was pregnant last year, had a baby, went on maternity leave, and took 12 weeks off of work, returned to work for a few months, and then was impacted by a layoff. Pretty common right now in the tech world, and was a bit unexpected. Didn't necessarily see it coming at that time, but obviously it's a inevitable reality for many of us right now in the tech world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being on the other side of it now has given me some hindsight, but looking back, I still feel like I still got the good end of it, if you will. I was extremely fortunate in the sense that I was able to take some time and like really try to figure out what the right next step for me was. And I think being a new mom had the most impact on where I went next.
Mm. Mm. Well, congratulations on becoming a mom.
Thank you.
That's exciting.
It's the greatest job in the world.
I'm an auntie of five, and I love the little ones. Yeah, I think a lot of people can probably relate to your story. Like, I remember loving consulting at the very beginning because I wanted to achieve more. And I thought this was like the perfect way to do it, just like you mentioned. But then I hit this point where I felt like I had achieved everything I had wanted to, and I still had a huge gaping hole inside of me. So I've spent the last few years trying to figure that out, but I'm curious. So you pivoted out, you know, Annie's in your life now. What did that mean for your job search? Because I saw you took some time from LinkedIn. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you approached the layoff? I think a lot of people are dealing with that right now, particularly as being a new mom.
Yeah. And, you know, I had a couple of months where I had returned to the workplace. I was navigating, a change in the way that I approached time management. I was also breastfeeding and pumping. Shout out to all the moms out there working so hard, trying to split their time at work. And so time management became huge for me in the workplace. And so when I started a job search, I wanted to create kind of a list of non-negotiables for myself. And, you know, being a new mom, work-life balance kind of rose to the top for me. So I will be honest, earlier in my career, I felt like I was on a CEO track, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to achieve to the very top. And, you know, for everybody out there who has experienced burnout, has experienced a layoff, or might be experiencing that right now, I think that it's important to remember the work-life balance component, right? Like, you know, that was a non-negotiable for me. So I think what rose to the top was work-life balance. I really, you know, thought about what my life could look like in 5, 10, 15 years. And, you know, all of a sudden realized like I wasn't willing to sacrifice my personal time, my mom time, if you will, for work. So finding something that was going to allow me work-life balance was key. I also just wanted to find a workplace that, you know, like prioritized empathy and understanding. So I have been in several environments that, you know, kind of gloss over the fact that, you know, people have children and return to the workplace and, you know, didn't personally want to be in an environment that, you know, doesn't support women in that way. So finding that was kind of a non-negotiable for me. And, you know, I really just spent some time reassessing my career goals in general. And again, like I said, taking a look out 5, 10, 15 years and thinking about what I wanted my life to look like and realizing the things that maybe I was willing to sacrifice for and the things that maybe I wasn't willing to sacrifice for. So that was kind of the first step for me in navigating the job search, was coming up with that list of non-negotiables. And from there, it became slightly easier then to like kind of weed through where to go next with applying for jobs and interviewing for jobs. So yes, there are job boards out there. I was using every trick in the book to kind of track and navigate my job search. I also was connecting out there with several folks wherever I could, but it was really easy to say, yes, this is something that maybe meets these foundational criteria, or no, this isn't something that meets the criteria, and I could easily just kind of put those things aside.
I love that you've touched on this list of non-negotiables, because I get a lot of people. I've been surprised how many people have come in and have asked me, like, I need help finding a job, and they're so focused on the role and they aren't looking at, number one, what are their own values? What are their non-negotiables? And then what is the company? Because it might be a fantastic role, but if that company isn't in alignment, you're probably not going to get what you're looking for. So
exactly. Yeah. And I think it's really important to have those things written down, or at least be very comfortable with repeating those to yourself. Because when you're in, you know, that interview situation, you need to be able to reference back to those things and figure out a way to dig into them with the folks that you're meeting and interviewing with, either live or, you know, post interview. It's really important to get those things answered, and kind of figure it out.
And how do you, like, I have my own list of questions that I give people for all sorts of different non-negotiables that they have. And I'm curious what your process was for evaluating, you know, evaluating like really what that work-life integration could look like. Because I know so many websites might say one thing, but it might be different on the ground. Can you tell us a little bit more about what your process was for evaluating that?
Yeah. So one of the only things that I knew post layoff was that I did not want to be in the same type of industry that I was coming out of, if that makes sense. And so that immediately kind of like removed all of the easy jobs from the list, right? So like anything that would meet the same criteria automatically came off of my list. And, you know, while that was not the easy path, it really was the right path for me. It was after, you know, so many life changes, so many things kind of happening all at once, it was the right decision to take the harder path. So kind of right off the bat, I knew exactly where I wasn't going to be working, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Yeah. So the next, you know, the next place I went was, okay, what does that mean? If I'm not going back into consulting, where am I going? Right. I am not, I do not do a job that is trade-based, right? I'm not a dentist. I'm not an attorney, right? So like those jobs, wonderful jobs, not for me, right? I'm probably a lot of knowledge worker listeners here. So then I kind of started to focus on values. So I started to think about how important purpose is in my own life outside of work. I donate a lot of time, talent, treasure to missions that are very important to me. So working in a mission-driven environment seemed like kind of a no-brainer, right? So from there, I kind of started exploring the nonprofit world, right? Mm-hmm. Coming out of the for-profit world, I started having a lot of conversations with people about roles and jobs in nonprofit. And I thought maybe that could be a good fit for me. And then through all those conversations, eventually was led into public service and government work, which is where I am now. And never in a million years, 5 years ago, would have thought that I would end up in the public service space. But now that I'm here, I can quite honestly say I don't know why I wasn't doing it before. So so that's how it works.
I love that. Yeah, I like the public sector. I spent the first few years of my consulting career focused on public sector. That's a fun, very fun and very meaningful niche.
Yeah, and there is that natural partnership, right? There's a lot of partnerships formed in government with the consulting world. And so it's kind of just serendipitous to now be on the other side and loving it, right?
Oh, good. I love that you love it. It's fantastic because I can see, I mean, our listeners can't see, but I can see the glow. Yeah. I'm curious, you know, I think probably some of our listeners might not feel like they have the luxury of having a non-negotiable list, whether that's mindset or whether that might just be the reality. What would you say to that?
Yeah, there, I would say that if you're clear on that, then, you know, you've already done half the work. So I think just even identifying the fact that there are things that you can't compromise on kind of makes you a little bit ahead of the game, right? So I also have a lot of conversations with folks just because I've had a career in project management for so long. I do talk to a lot of people who are considering it, pivoting into project management as a career, folks who are looking to transition in some way. And so I do have a lot of conversations with people out there in the professional world about project management. And I can tell you that a lot of times people don't quite know what it is that they're looking for. And so I think to your point of people who, you know, aren't able to compromise on things, I think that's actually great that they understand that, right? Because then that becomes kind of your list, your non-negotiable list, right?
Yeah, almost like a broader umbrella, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question for you, and it just popped out of my head. Ah, yes. Okay, it's back. It's back. So you're at a place now. You're at the, let's see, State of Indiana, Department of Workforce Development, which I love because I love econ and workforce development. That's so fun. What do you do? Like, what tactics do you actually implement to help with your work-life balance? You mentioned your time management. Like, can you give us some tidbits of what you're doing that's helping you?
I guess follow up, like tell me more about that.
So I'll give you an example, like something that I do to help me make sure that I'm not just work, 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 go, 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 is I like to schedule things with myself after work so that I know I have a hard cutoff. And that way, if something pops up, I can say, like, I have a commitment. And that commitment might be me, myself, and my cats on the couch relaxing. That commitment might be, you know, I'm going to a community event to speak about something. Like, it can be a wide spectrum of what one might consider a commitment to be. So I'm curious, like, how do you navigate that in your own work?
Yeah. Okay. And I think I've gotten a lot more serious and structured about this as I've grown in not only in my career, but also as a new mom. So I think time blocking is something that has become extremely important and almost critical in my life if I'm going to be able to do the things that I want to do and have the life that I want to have. So one of the benefits of coming out of the consulting world is that I don't have to be plugged in 24/7 to work anymore. And that was something that was extremely important to me in looking for my next role. So for anybody who might not know, in the government world, it is, at least in Indiana, it's a 7.5-hour workday. So there is no expectation of putting in time outside of that. So perfect for my non-negotiables list. So I'm able to kind of define that 7.5-hour workday however I want. I am the parent that does daycare pickup. And so my daycare pickup time every day starts at 4:30. So on my calendar every day from 4:30 to 5:15, there is a block for daycare pickup. From the hours of 5:15 to about 6:30, that's our time with our daughter after work. So every day we've kind of carved out that time before she goes to bed to hang out with her. Once she goes to bed, that leaves a couple of hours before my own personal bedtime. So I can kind of design that however I want. However, there are several things that have to be done in that time, right? There are chores, there is self-care, there is like free time for hobbies, and hobbies in my case is volunteering and reading. So like all of that has to happen in the span of like 3 hours. And so I have to get all of those things on the calendar just to keep my own sanity, but also, you know, to make sure that my husband is on the same page and we then both have time for each other as well. Mm-hmm. So I would say calendars are my friend, time blocking is my friend. And I just feel, again, fortunate that I was able to find my way into a role that allows me all of that, like time and space to do that.
Yeah. And for anyone out there who's not familiar with time blocking, can you explain just like how someone would get started with that?
Yeah, it's very simple. You know, you kind of identify the activity, right? And then you identify how long it's going to take you to do that activity. And you actually just schedule that time on your calendar. And so when that time on that calendar comes up, then you are doing that activity at that time, right? You're not doing any other activity. That's your time for that particular task or thing.
Yeah. I time block, but I don't do the part where you only do that activity very well.
I was going to say,
that's a personal challenge.
It's your time to do that thing. And it might seem like a foreign concept to some people, but it's actually an incredible way to make sure that you get all of your things done, right? Because think about you know, if you have a free moment, what are you going to do? You're automatically going to pick up your phone, right? And what's on your phone? Your social media, your work Slack, your work emails, your text messages, right? All the things that kind of suck out your time. And so being able to anchor back to what you have your time blocked for really helps you kind of stay focused.
It's an ongoing challenge for me. I think for me, I need to be putting in more break, like more mental break, just walk around for 5 minutes and breathe. Yep.
If you are not a person that naturally is good at that, then yeah, you have to force yourself to do it, right?
It's tough. But I love the concept, and I've been doing it on my calendar. I've been time blocking on my calendar for a long time, but the execution part is still very difficult for me.
I think we all struggle with that in our own way.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. I'm sure I'm not alone in that. Goodness, goodness. All right. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for coming on today and giving us just some great perspectives, I think, of understanding what matters most to us and then taking this opportunity of, you know, I don't think most people would probably refer to a layoff as an opportunity, but viewing it as an opportunity to find something that's more in alignment with, you know, the change and where you're seeing your life heading.
Absolutely.
It's really inspiring.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for sharing, letting me share a little bit about my story.
Yeah, I think it will be helpful for our listeners. I like to ask everyone at the end if they have a favorite quote. So Kelly, do you have a favorite quote? And if so, what is it?
I would say this probably isn't a quote so much as an inspiring mantra, but I like the idea of, and I refer back to this a lot, you can't pour from an empty cup, or the metaphor about putting your own oxygen mask on, right, on a plane before helping someone else. And I think about this a lot. It's been really important to me as I've navigated a layoff, a career pivot, that like I have to remain true to myself, and I have to be okay, right, before I can give to others and bring my true full self to work and bring my full self to being a mom. And so yeah, those are kind of the mantras I come back to often.
I love that. I do too. I literally think about that all the time. Oh, goodness. And if any of our listeners want to learn more about you, I know you post a lot about project management and you've got so many great tips and tricks there. And just this perspective as well. Where can they find you? Where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. You can search my name, Kelly Sandstrom. I try to post there, not all the time, but sometimes you can find me there and follow more about my journey.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All righty. Good deal.